Time to go to the Middle East now, and we're joined by our correspondent in Doha, Camille Nedelik. Camille, the latest round of ceasefire talks between Hamas and mediators from Qatar, Egypt and the US, it has wrapped up, but is there a deal?
Hi, Lisa. So the short answer is, right now, there isn't one, and it doesn't seem likely that there will be one, at the very least in the next 24 hours or so. Let me explain. So Israel wasn't at these discussions, and neither side seemed to have budged on their demands. Both are blaming the other for the stalemate. Hamas has said the deal must include an end to the war in Gaza and the withdrawal of Israeli forces from the Gaza Strip. But that is out of the question for Israel, because Tel Aviv wants the complete eradication of Hamas from Gaza. And of course, that's something the group would be extremely unlikely to agree to. Israel also wants to free its hostages. That's around 130 people. But it wants any ceasefire that would result in a release of those hostages to be temporary, kind of like the one we saw in November, which saw over 100 hostages released. Hamas has now travelled back to Qatar, where it'll be mulling things over with the bosses. And there are some reports that the delegation will be coming back on Tuesday, but that's TBC for now.
So while
back home in Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin...
Mm-hmm. No, you carry on, Camille.
So I was just going to explain the background to that. Is back home in Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been coming under pressure to agree to a ceasefire. So on Saturday, there are tens of thousands of protesters out in the streets in Tel Aviv. And while protests like this have been going on ever since the start of the war, there is something special about this one, because it came just a couple of days ahead of Israel's Holocaust Memorial Day, which is today. And one thing to bear in mind is that ceasefire isn't unanimous. That call for ceasefire isn't unanimous in Israel. On Sunday, there was also a small protest by the Heroes Forum, which is an organization of families of soldiers and other Israelis that have been killed in the Gaza war. And they're actually demanding that the war continue. So they, like Netanyahu, think that the only way to end the war is a military incursion into Rafah. And that brings me to the humanitarian cost of this war. That's where most of Gaza's residents, including women and children, have fled to. And that was actually under the orders of the Israeli army, as I'm sure we all remember. A military incursion into Rafah would put them in the middle of a battlefield. And things are already dire in Gaza as it is, and about to get worse. Israel yesterday shut one of Gaza's main entry points for aid. That was after the armed wing of Hamas, the Qassam Brigade, fired at soldiers that were near that crossing. People don't already have enough food as it is. That is a crossing that's in the south of the Gaza Strip. But in the north, the World Food Programme has warned that it's already facing full-blown famine. And this, of course, is against the backdrop of near constant Israeli shelling in Gaza. More than 34,000 people are dead, and the real number could be much higher. This week, the Civil Defence Force in the Strip said that another 10,000 bodies could still be trapped under the rubble. So even that incredibly high figure could conceal a much higher one.
So while this has all been going on, Camille, there has been other developments. The Israeli government has moved to suspend the news network Al Jazeera. Can you just tell us quickly what has happened there?
Sure. So Al Jazeera has been suspended for at least 45 days. That could be extended. So it's now off air. The website is blocked. And Netanyahu has called the channel an incitement channel. Some of the channel's equipment was also seized in a raid. The channel, the network, denies the allegations that it hasn't met standards of professional journalism. It called Sunday's cabinet vote to shut it down a deceptive and slanderous move. So there's strong words on all sides there. And that suspension happened thanks to a law that was passed at the beginning of April, which gave the Israeli government the power to ban foreign TV channels that it deems a threat to national security. And at the time, the PM even name-checked Al Jazeera. Ironically, the ban comes just a few days after World Press Freedom Day, which was on Friday, and the war has been pretty bad on journalism in general. The Committee for the Protection of Journalists has said at least 95 media workers have been killed so far, and that's the highest number since their records began in 1992 for any given conflict. But one thing to bear in mind, aside from all of that, there's also the diplomatic fallout. Al Jazeera is a Qatari channel funded by the Qatari state. Qatar's been instrumental in ceasefire talks. It was instrumental in the ones back in November as well. So this is a sign that Israel may not be in a talking mood. This is calculated.
Thank you, Camille. That is Camille Nedelik joining us there from Doha.